invite you to please stand for the reading of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." And this is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who is risen. Amen. Now you might remember that a few weeks ago we were first introduced to this Pharisee named Saul, who was actively seeking out followers of Christ to punish them for their beliefs. You might remember that Saul was there when Stephen was stoned to death in Jerusalem, seemingly to egg the crowd on. And you also might remember that Saul went out of his way to seek permission to travel to Damascus to further his agenda of wiping out those people who were professing Jesus as the risen Lord. But something changed for Saul when on his way to Damascus, Jesus came to him in a vision saying, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" And it was soon after this special encounter with Jesus that Saul repents, is transformed, and becomes a believer. Saul is transformed and begins growing into a disciple and a student and a follower himself. Yes, because of his vision, Saul became a proclaimer of Christ Jesus as his risen Lord and Savior. A proclaimer of the gospel message, but a gospel message just a little different from what Peter and the other early church leaders in Jerusalem were used to. You see, it was different because what had been known to Saul, also now known as Paul, was that the good news of Jesus was really for everyone. It was a message of hope for both Jews and all the Gentiles. And it was a message of hope, Paul told Peter, Christ had specifically given to him as a mission to share with the Gentiles. And so after some debate, Peter and the other early church leaders finally give Paul their blessing to go out into the Gentile world and try to spread the gospel. Now, I've often wondered if on some level they were just trying to get rid of Paul and maybe even hoping he would fail. But if that was the case, they sure were in for a big surprise. A big surprise because not only did Paul's mission not fail, but instead it grew exponentially as first one and then another person was touched by the promise and hope that belief in the risen Christ offered. Yes, Paul's mission exploded and grew and grew and grew. But I don't think it was because Paul was such a charismatic leader. No, Paul understood rightly that he had very little to do with things and was, in fact, simply an unlikely messenger. And so Paul, over and over again, always gave credit to the Holy Spirit for acting in and through him and in and through so many of the people he encountered on his travels. You see, Paul trusted Jesus' words when he said, The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. And we need that same trust today. We need to let down our defenses, our misguided or misconstrued ideas of what's important, and allow the Holy Spirit to once again speak to us and lead us where God wants us to be. Now, in today's lesson, Paul and Silas originally had no intention of going to Philippi. In fact, their original plan was to stay in Asia Minor. But whenever they tried to share the good news there, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak, because the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them. Instead, God sent Paul a vision. A vision where a man from Macedonia came pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And so they went. They went because the Spirit led them into Macedonia and to the Roman colony in Philippi. Led them to a place where the Spirit was already out ahead of them, preparing fertile ground for a new Christian community. A new Christian community born out of the most unexpected of places, and that in time grew into and became a model community of faith. Now, I've often wondered what made this faith community so successful, and I've often wondered why the Philippians seemed to have such an easier time embracing Christ's great commandment to love their neighbor than so many of the other churches that Paul founded. But for whatever reason, they just seemed to get it. They just seemed to understand that this great gift of love and forgiveness that they had received through the Holy Spirit had to be shared regardless of who a person was, where they were from, or what they had previously done. And so they lived love, breathed love, and people knew they were Christian by their love. And I think Christian love is a lot different from, some say, simply Christian belief. And it's different because, unlike an emphasis on right belief, Christian love is all about finding ways to live together with Christ in Christian community. And living in Christian community entails showing up, which so many people, especially our young people, don't seem to be doing as much anymore. Sure, our youth will stand up and profess their faith at confirmation. And sure, for special occasions, we might even see an influx of people return for an occasional worship service. Then too often they seem to disappear or fade away for months or years at a time. So what are we doing wrong as a community of faith? Could it be that we profess one thing, but live out something completely different, and so for many people, the church just takes on the air of a house of hypocrisy, a place that seems out of touch with reality and not genuine? Well, that's one way of looking at it, I'm sure. And in fact, I myself at one time looked at the church much the same way. In fact, I still do on some days. But I've come to realize that the church will always be a place where there will be tension and paradox. The church will always fall short of perfection, and the church will always be a house of hypocrisy. What's more, that's exactly what the church is supposed to be, because the church is nothing more than a place where sinful, broken, misguided, opinionated, morally corrupt, judgmental, wicked, and selfish people are all welcomed. In fact, the church was designed as just such a place. Because here in Christ's church, we find maybe the only place where we can gather together with all our flaws, all our differences of opinion, and all of our baggage, still trusting that through God's graciousness, Christ will forgive each and every one of our sins. Yes, here in this sanctuary, the playing field is leveled, and so it makes no difference if we're old or young, male or female, rich or poor, or if anything else might seem to divide us. All that matters is that here in this holy place, we are free to praise God, our Father Almighty, together. We are encouraged by Christ to pass the peace of forgiveness with our neighbor. And with one voice, we have the opportunity to invite the Holy Spirit into our lives and into our community. Yes, right here at Spirit of Christ, we can open ourselves up to hearing God's word and hearing Christ's promise of life through love for us. Now, sure, it's possible to be a believer without the church, but I feel strongly the church is that one special place that calls us into truer relationships. Truer relationships that can and will be both easy and hard at the same time. And maybe that's all right. Because getting along and loving someone who thinks and acts and believes exactly the same way as you do can be pretty boring. Pretty boring and pretty stagnant. But relationships grounded in God's love for diversity helps us all become more tolerant. More tolerant not just for every person we meet, both inside and outside of the church, but also more tolerant of any and every idea that might further our mission to share the good news. But to be successful, we're going to need each other to face and overcome the many challenges and hardships that being the church today entails. So be prepared to possibly shed some tears, as there will be some very real struggles ahead. But there will also be new adventures. Grand adventures for each and every one of you to take part in. Because whatever may be coming, you should have no fear of the future or that you will ever be alone. Have no fear, for surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Yes, God will give you visions for hope and visions for purpose, and God will give you everything you need. And so in the months and years to come, I pray we never forget that even with all our faults, we will never be walking alone, as the Holy Spirit will continually come into our midst just when we need the Spirit the most. And I also firmly believe that just like Paul received visions, so too will each of you. And when these visions come, don't ignore them. But come, share your visions with me and with one another, so that together we can discern God's purpose, not only for you, but for this entire congregation. And now may Christ's peace be with each of you, and may you be filled with the Holy Spirit always and forever. Amen.